to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, May 26, 2019, by Eric Williams.
That lovely English hymn is a reminder that this time of year is Rogation Tide. This sixth Sunday of Easter is the day when we celebrate God's creation, and Rogation Days were times when there was a blessing upon the spring planting. In many English parishes, there would be a beating of the bounds, a procession around the whole territory of the parish with hymns and a big party, I believe, at the end. We don't tend to do that in America. We've kind of lost that sense of the harvest seasons in our much more urban and suburban lifestyle, at least in many places. But I love that tradition, and I was thinking about what it means to bless a territory. The Rogation Tide procession would bless the whole territory of the parish. There's another blessing I was hearing on the radio a couple weeks ago. In New York City, they were talking about different practices of Orthodox Jews in New York. There are very strict rules about how to celebrate the Sabbath in Orthodox households. No work can be done, but in order to preserve some of the things that have to be done for a family, you know, carrying a baby, for example, a mother carrying a baby is work. But if you got a baby, sometimes the baby needs to be carried no matter what day it is. So certain relaxed rules were allowed in the home. And there came a practice, Orthodox rabbis decreed that you could extend the boundary of the home through something called an eruv, E-R-U-V. This was a way of marking a sacred territory, a home that would expand beyond the home. So certain neighborhoods in New York would have this eruv, which is now, in modern times, fishing line that is strung around poles to make kind of an enclosure way up high. There's an eruv now in New York City, and it's not the largest in the world, that encompasses almost the entirety of the island of Manhattan. A fishing line. Get this, a fishing line that goes all the way around Manhattan. Every Friday, Orthodox rabbis must go and inspect this eruv to make sure that it hasn't become damaged because of an ice storm or some other catastrophe. They repair it. They have a machinery that will go up, and they can restring the wire to make sure that enclosure is kept safe. That really captured my imagination, this idea of taking territory and making it, setting it apart by blessing it for this particular purpose, whether it's blessing the parish and the fields during rogation or blessing the eruv and allowing families to do certain work on the Sabbath within that extended household. I thought of those things as I was reading our scriptures today. We have in our passage from Revelation this beautiful vision of John of the heavenly Jerusalem coming down to earth out of heaven. And the new heavenly Jerusalem is different from the old earthly Jerusalem. The old earthly Jerusalem was very small and usually a place of conflict. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem is a constant theme throughout the scriptures. To this day, it remains a place of conflict, of territory that is argued over. But in John's vision, there is no longer conflict. And in fact, the boundaries of that city are expanded beyond all comprehension. The earthly Jerusalem is small, a very small walled city, but the heavenly Jerusalem will be huge. In Revelation, we learn that each side of this four-square city will be 1,500 miles. Get that. That's a big territory. Enough room, according to John's vision, for all the nations to be present. No longer a city for one tribe, one people, one clan. Now this new kingdom of God will be for everyone. all the nations will come. And it will be a place of peace. And it will be a place of holiness. Nothing unclean can enter, only blessedness. There's no darkness there because the Lamb at the center of the throne is the light. There's not even nighttime anymore. It's a gorgeous, beautiful, and wonderful vision. And it speaks to us of the dream that God has for us to extend the boundaries of God's sacred place. We tend to make it so small. Me and God, my family and God, my parish and God, my denomination and God. We limit God so often in the smallness of our vision. And so how wonderful that the scripture opens us up to something new. St. Paul had a vision in our reading today in Acts. St. Paul, like he often did, had a very clear strategy and plan for how he was going to evangelize. He had it all mapped out. He had taken his first missionary journey, and now he was tackling Asia Minor. He was going to go step by step through Asia, bringing the good news of God to the Gentiles. Except Paul had a small problem. It was not going very well. He ran into brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. He was beginning to lose heart when suddenly he had a vision. A man in his vision calling to him and inviting him to come to Macedonia, to leave the continent of Asia, Asia Minor, to cross the water and to go to Europe, to Macedonia, and bring the good news. In other words, Paul, let go of your agenda, let go of your plan. God has a new plan for you. You've been zigging, and God wants you to zag. And so Paul says, okay, we're going to Macedonia. They go to Macedonia. This man in the vision never apparently shows up. They never find him. They go from city to city throughout Macedonia and eventually end up in the major trading city of Philippi. And they're not sure where to go. Where is this guy? What's the plan, God? Where are you leading us? And then they think, let's go to the place of prayer. Where do people gather for prayer? And so they go to the river. Shall we gather at the river? They gather at the river, and there they do not meet this man, but instead they meet a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, an affluent, wealthy person who has become interested in Judaism. She's a God-fearer, and she hears Paul, and something amazing happens. She's transformed, and she and her household are baptized, and God's mission to bring the good news to Europe begins, because Paul was willing to trust the vision and to keep on zagging and zigging until he got it right. These scriptures speak to me very deeply and powerfully of some of the ways that we might think about how God works with us as well. God consistently is seeking for us to widen the territory in which we see God at work, to give up the limitations of family and clan and nation, and to look more broadly at what God is doing to bring about God's amazing kingdom and reign on earth. And secondly, I think we too, like Paul, can find ourselves struggling to find the right path. We are celebrating today the presence of Rhonda, our intern, with us. This is her last Sunday, and she can tell you at length about how difficult it can be in the discernment process to see God clearly. There's a lot of zigging and zagging, right? There's a lot of unexpected turns. There's a lot of times when you're leaping out in faith and not sure what's going to happen. And yet through it, God promises to continue to lead us if we can be open. What does it take for us to keep that vision of revelation? What does it take for us to have the persistence to keep following God on this winding path? It seems to me there's a couple clues in our lessons today. And one of them is persistence. I think about in our gospel, that poor man who went to the place of healing. He knew where to go. This is the pool of Bethzatha. This is where healing happens. And then he had to wait for 38 years. I can barely wait for 5 seconds for a web page to load if my Wi-Fi is not working correctly. And this guy waited 38 years. He was in the right place, but it took patience until it was the right time. Ultimately, he never gets to the pool, does he? Because he meets Jesus instead, and the blessing comes from an unexpected source, and he is healed. Patience and persistence are integral to our spiritual growth and life. In the vision that we have, I think this patience and persistence is so important. And the other thing is to know where to go. St. Paul and his companions knew where to go in Philippi. They went to the place of prayer. Lydia had been coming there for quite a while, but on this particular day, her life was changed. So I think about those two things. Know where to go and be patient until God's blessing arrives. We have habits and practices in our Christian faith that inform us about where to go. We know where to go. We come here to church week after week. We come to hear the scriptures over and over. We come to receive the sacrament over and over. We know this is the place of prayer and the place of healing. And week by week, we don't always feel the amazing, overwhelming presence of God. At least if you're like me, there are some Sundays where it's like, well, that was nice. You know, I feel a little better having been with my community of faith. But then every once in a while, the heavens are opened and the vision is revealed and our lives are changed. It is through patience and persistence, doing the things that we know are right, coming to the pool of Bethzatha, going to the riverside in Philippi, and waiting on the presence of God. I pray that we might experience anew God's amazing vision and presence, that in our lives, God might be opening up more and more territory as sacred space in our hearts and minds, imaginations and lives, and in this hurting world. And I pray that we might have the patience and persistence to keep going to the right place and expecting and experiencing the powerful and transforming love of God.